anxious mind is paying attention, and your unconscious mind is attention itself. You're now tuned in to your favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Let's do something different. It's been a while since I did one of these episodes. Did a little bit with the Manifestation Week series I did, and I wanted to take it back. It's always good. It's always good to change things up a little bit. You know, for those that don't know, hi, Greg Bornstein, host of Open Loops, Conversations That Bend. I call myself a cultural hypnotist. I call myself a consciousness disruptor, curator of experience, which I just love. I think that's just another great way to frame hypnotist. It's what I find so fascinating about the podcast medium is that it can be done in so many different ways. And that was originally one of the goals of this show. I wanted this show, Open Loops, to be about really what was going on in my mind. Because all of our minds are a constant conversation. And believe me, the fact that one second you can feel on top of the world and the next, you can absolutely want to destroy everyone around you, usually in the family units. But yes, anyone around you means that we already have bending minds. Our minds already bend. So I'm just looking for new directions. Now, originally when I did this show, in June of 2020, it was an outlet for me to just talk about whatever the heck I wanted. I was studying hypnosis very intently. I was studying personal development, as well as some other fringe kind of things, the conspiracy a little bit, but a little bit of the psychic powers on both sides, debunking and not debunking, esoteric philosophy, stuff like that. I was always interested, and my goal was to teach some of it. Or to teach what was happening in my head, figuring out my relationship to these ideas and in my place in the world with them. Now, you can go back and listen to the early episodes. I'm sure I will one day, but I'll sum it up. This interest in quote unquote heretical thought, fringe thought, countercultural, subversive thinking, different ways, the offbeat, outside of the mainstream. This passion that I had for it, I knew that all these things were tough to categorize. I often called them escapist. I've since been told that escapism it might be too harsh a word. And then I called it intellectual escapism, or because there was an intellectual stimulation component to it. It wasn't just you were floating in this pleasure zone. What happened to me when I first went to Lush in London, and everybody was just putting these beautifully fragrant. Now, a professional podcast might edit that, but I'm going to keep it in because I want to keep it raw like the old days. A fragrant, creamy thing on your hands, and people were just touching you, and I'm going, why is this so enjoyable? Why is having these females with British accents rubbing my hands in a public store and smelling it and feeling the moisturizer in my hands? Why do I like it so much? Now, that could be what escapism is. And actually, sometimes it is for people. This Netflix binging that people do and all the streaming services. Oh my gosh. Think about this. Remember when people were going, oh yeah, binging Netflix is not a good thing. Oh gosh. But everybody still kept doing it. And now there's an AMC Plus and a Paramount Plus and everything's got a plus. And it's gone crazy. We like crapping on the things that we shouldn't be doing and saying they're bad for us. Social media, publicly shaming others for amusement. But the fact that calling it out and being self-referential and not doing anything about it, that's really more the common habit among people, don't you think? Anyways, at the very least, my hobbies are books, right? Learning. I'm not sure that's entirely true. I've had my my uncle, one of my uncles it was a semi-serious conversation about his concern that I was going to inundate myself with way too many books in the same way that he also is very familiar with. Actually, I'll just say it as my grandfather. My Uncle Max knew my grandfather Herb was a bibliophile, and he warned me, Greg, you might become one too, and I'm concerned. Make sure you're actually reading all those books. I agree with that, too. But, yeah, I'm aware that there is a propensity for knowledge hoarding. It's not the worst kind of hoarding in the world. But it's still, you have to look at the root of the problem. Same with shopping addiction. Same with anything. Is it for the right reasons? So sometimes I'm aware it's not. I know it's not. And even with Open Loops, talking about these different, I mean, why did the desire to talk to people who claimed they've been time travelers, why is that something that compels me? Why go there? Why not talk to somebody about how they made six figures creating a coaching business and the mindset and what it takes to wake up every day? I'm yawning as I'm talking about it. It's what I want to lead into today. I've always wanted this show to be an expression of the internal of what's going on inside of me and my passions and my curiosities. And yes, I want you to be entertained too. I care about that deeply. That I very much I think psychology books could perhaps be written about my desire to entertain people. They probably have been. It is definitely something that I've had very interesting relationship to over the years. I mean, I even as you're listening to this right now, I know that on some level I'm going, oh gosh, are they going to care? Are they going to like this? Is this, they wanted an interview. Who's the person that smells your future that Greg is going to have on this week, maybe? And don't worry, it's coming on next Thursday, actually. But no, just kidding. I don't have any smelling fortune tellers yet, though I am looking. Always looking. I'm always open to interviewing the oddballs. I myself am one. Or I'm not. And I like surrounding myself with the oddballs. No, I'm definitely odd. Oh, my roommate will tell you. I'm definitely odd. And what I want to say right now is that why these offbeat topics? Why these out of the blue things? Out of the blue, out of this world, out of this galaxy. Why these topics? Why have a flat earther on? Because somebody thought of it, and more than one person often has done research into it enough to make me want to explore it. Curiosity. It's the spirit of curiosity. I can't help it. It's okay to be curious. It's okay to be curious. This is a tribute to curiosity. And it's also a tribute to figuring out who I am. There is a self-actualization piece in here, too. I know that you all may have been subjected to me talking to some of these healers and going, yeah, what do you see for me? What do you see for me? And yes, it's a way of not having to sign up for their $1,500 coaching 3-week program in some ways. But also, I am looking to reflect. You know, they say, I'm a reflection of you. You're a reflection of me. So why is it by giving voice to people that don't normally have a voice that I feel more mutually fulfilled? Well, you hear the obvious answer, right? Because you felt you haven't had a voice for so long. Probably, yeah. I don't really care that much about global politics, about these sociopolitical issues, and I care about this disease. I care about health. I care about everyone's well-being, but I've never really aligned. There's that word again, alignment. I've never aligned with just the regular stuff. I'm not saying mainstream like mainstream media. I just mean mainstream. Here's what society wants. I was about to go into a yawn again. See, it's actually inside of me. There are physiological responses that could clue you in to how aligned you are or aren't. I encourage you to pay attention. And the other thing I'm going to say is, you know, today, look, this is just me spitballing and talking about where I'm at in the Open Loops journey. Now, I don't have a grand announcement here. I wish I did. I wish I could bring you something. Some of those podcasts do that, right? It's fun to crap on other podcasts, too. Makes you feel good for a second. I'm not like those other podcasts. Now I'm doing a solo episode in between interview episodes. Yeah, that's like those other podcasts. But are those podcasts aware enough to do a 2-second deep dive into how aware they are of being another podcast doing it? I'm not sure. You feel looped? I do too. Let me talk to you for a second. I want to talk to you about the nature of reality. Maybe. The nature of the reality that we're experiencing currently. And it's an interesting one. This whole talk of alignment, this whole, I bring it up, the world is leaving tradition aside. People have left their jobs in bulk. There's a mass movement, the Great Resignation. People are deciding to go for things that they maybe once viewed from a distance, thought to themselves, maybe one day I'll do that, but I know I have to do this kind of, go through this process first. People are taking a jump, collectively. Now, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. I don't know if it's deliberate. I don't know if it's There's disinformation and then there's misinformation. I don't know. I think the dis is when they actively are trying to tell you the opposite thing and the miss is just wrong. I think most of it is miss, except from the establishment. Let's be real. The government's just always lying. We can just assume that at this point. But there is a rise. You've noticed it. There is a rise in spirituality. Psychics, astrologers, Reiki, hypnosis even. I didn't even think hypnosis would be as mainstream as it is, but it's getting there now. Being in lockdown allowed a lot of people who didn't regularly speak out on social media to say, hey, guess what? I have this weird thing, and I really am interested in it, and it's helped my life, and maybe it can help yours too. I think that's great. And with the abundance of it, I think it's great to regulate it as well. But that's one of the things I do on my public Facebook page. And any of you can look me up. Look up Greg Bornstein on Facebook if you want. I ask questions to kind of disrupt a little bit. As the consciousness disruptor, I ask questions that call out healers on BS claims, but also look for the legit answers. And because I have such a scattered friend group of people that would absolutely never listen to an episode of this show, to people that are just devotees, I really get an interesting collage of responses on the spectrum of belief, and I love it. I love it because it's never good to just be in one bubble. I've said that since the beginning. I have to get both sides. I have to get all the sides. So, if you want to come on my show and tell me why it's a great idea to start a marketing manager role at a tech B2B software company and how that's going to be the path of destiny for all the young people in college, that's the ideal career goal, go ahead. You can try to convince me of that. I actually probably won't interview you, but if you really want to come on and tell me why that is, I'll have you on. I just might invite, I'll invite an anarchist on too, just to see. I don't know if you can declare yourself that. I think that kind of goes against what anarchists are about. But yes, we'll spice it up a little bit. We'll see what happens. Yes, I am all for it. I'm all for different viewpoints. I like having my beliefs challenged. I like not knowing. I like the state of confusion, because confusion often precedes learning, they say. I'm not sure. I'll figure it out. Anyways, so why am I here today? Why am I doing this episode? Do I have something valuable to give you beyond just talking about the show and talking about my expansion and your expansion and all that stuff? I think I do, because here's something interesting. I've been going back into the work of a man named John Overdurf. Now, John Overdurf is one of the pioneers of humanistic neurolinguistic programming. What does that mean? It's a whole bunch of things. But he's a master hypnotist, master NLP trainer, and what I love about John's work is that he often brings other disciplines to mix in. So he brings a little bit of Vedic philosophy. He brings neuroscience to change work. He's an old school practitioner of NLP. I mean, he really does know his stuff and his language patterns and Milton Erickson and all this stuff, but he's also innovated the field. And him and his original training partner, Julie Silverthorne, they wrote this book called Training Trances, which if you can get a copy, I was lucky enough to get a copy of it in the Kindle before it disappeared. But it's one of the seminal books about conversational hypnosis and one of those books. I love the hypnosis books. That's what's sometimes fun, because they actually put you in a trance as you're reading them. They communicate on multiple levels. Some of the best hypnosis books do this. Check out John Overdurf's stuff. He came up with something that really is resonating with me, and I'm curious how you might take it. The idea is this, and this is why it resonated so much. For years, people said, well, you have to find your purpose. You have to find your, you have to know what, you have to have a goal that you want in order to have people be attracted to you. You need to be set in your ways. You have to know what you want and all this stuff. And in terms of manifestation, you have to have the end goal. And I struggled for a long time with this because I did not have an end goal necessarily. I didn't know what I wanted. I know some people went to school to be actors. I went to school with in acting school. The dream is what? To get an Oscar or to be a working actor? That's the compromise it feels everyone made. You know, at a certain point, you realize getting an Oscar is difficult. Therefore, you go, I'd be happy being a working actor. It's kind of the pity choice. Now, these days, I would say, go for the Oscar. Admit it to yourself. Say you want it. I'm much more optimistic now than I was. But, when I realized that acting, or the craft of acting, what it would take to get to that goal, wasn't as intriguing to me, then I was very lost. And I had magic. I started studying hypnosis, but I went, do I really want to be a change worker? Do I want to do stage shows? Do I want to be a comedian? All these questions, all these common concerns and questions came up. And then they talk about, especially in neurolinguistic programming, the idea of SMART goals. And SMART is, oh gosh, I mean, I am... I'm going to have to look it up as I'm telling it to you right now. I've discarded it so much that I don't even use it as a reference point anymore. But it's a well-established tool. I believe it didn't even come from neurolinguistic programming. It came from something else. But it's an acronym for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Again, a great system maybe for having a more realistic goal, but if you don't actually know what you want to do, then how does it help you? And how do you know what you want to do is actually the thing that's going to make you feel best, because of all the stuff they say, oh, the richest people are the most unhappy, classic stuff. So, when I heard John Overdurf, I heard him talking, and he put out this 11-minute podcast that was an introduction, I believe, to his Beyond Goals concept. I loved it. Now, I'm not going to go into the intricacies of it, because I don't want to take away from his product. I don't want to, give away everything for free. But I'll put it this way, very simply, to kind of give a broad overview. The difference between the traditional have a set end destination that you want to go to and Beyond Goals is that it focuses more on state of being. Where do you want to, how do you want to feel once you've achieved the thing that you achieve? How do you want to feel from the top of your head to the tips of your toes? What's going on inside of you? What is the thing that you want to... It's beyond goals. It's a state of being. It's at the identity... It's even beyond the identity level. It's not saying, I am the most powerful hypnotist in the world, or I am the most successful, and da-da-da-da. It's, how do you want to feel? Well, how will that make you feel? And then, once you're in that feeling, taking a series of steps to sustain that feeling and keep moving and moving and iterating on your current reality. It's non-linear in a way, because you'll do something from that end state and then it'll modify your next step. It's got the unpredictability factor. A lot of people think you have to have a set goal and then go, okay, so if I want to become the best podcaster, well, I have to do what Joe Rogan did, get a $20 million deal. Okay, how do I do that? Well, I have to have enough listeners. Okay, well, how do I do that? And you can move backwards and backwards. And that's very NLP. Neuro-linguistic programming, what I love about it and what I think is deceptive about it is that it says, well, if you want to find out how the greatest athlete in the world is able to, if you want to be Tom Brady at his peak, you start at the end and actually work backwards and go through the subjective experience of Tom Brady and map it out. Where do his eyes look when the football's, when he's about to throw the ball? What is he actually seeing? Is he constructing an image of the goal being further away than him calling it goal? See, I don't even know football terms. When he's throwing a touchdown, does he shrink in his mind? Does he expand it? What does he get rid of the noises surrounding him? Really going into the subjective experience of Tom Brady and then building a series of patterns to model him, Tim Ferriss, great at this, Tony Robbins, proponent of it, to achieve that. And you can have success with it. Feels very complicated, but you can. As a matter of fact, there are some great tools with modeling in NLP that are, well, you can even do in hypnosis. I know a great one that if you want to get the skill of somebody, you want to develop the skill in an hour session, you can unconsciously build in a skill that you weren't able to do previously. And all of that has its roots in NLP modeling and whatnot. But when you don't know what your goal is, and you don't know if being Tom Brady is even the thing you want, why not just go to how you want to feel once you have achieved something? That end state energy, that's the power of it. Now, what I wanted to talk about today, and this is what I found interesting about John's work, is that in this program is called Beyond Goals 2.0. So it's a further exploration of the concept of using end state energy as a way of moving through life in a way that you're still actually achieving things, but you're open to not knowing. And this is what Rex Sykes talked about on the episode last week. Not even knowing what you might want to do unconsciously. You're unconsciously unaware of the things that you might discover you want to do that you haven't given a shot to trying yet. I had no idea the people I would connect with from doing this show. I just had an inkling and a curiosity, and I've spoken to people I never in my life. I did not think I was going to be interviewing Andy DiBisciago of Project Pegasus on this show. And that wasn't a goal when I went in. That wasn't even a thought in my mind. It happened. And what do you know? I was unaware that it could even happen. That's what you can do with goals. That's what you can do with end state energy. I encourage you right now, think about the things in your life that you want. Think about the feeling you want to experience at the end of all your accomplishments. And then once you're in that feeling, make decisions that keep you in that state and do something new and then react to the world around you and stay in it. I mean, again, it gets a little more. There are tricks with procrastination and other things that John really goes into in that course, but it's made me very, here's what I've noticed, right? When you're feeling sad, you start thinking of more reasons to feel sad, right? And when you're feeling good, they talk about this with state control. When I feel good, when I feel inspired, when I feel in that end state energy, all of a sudden, new resources exist, new things that I'm excited about. That for me, the end state is often that Oh, wow. Isn't this world full of wonder? That's where I'm going to live. The wonder of it all. That's what the escapism is. Getting to the wonder of life. And then I do things to keep that wonder moving. What's the smallest thing I can do to keep the wonder, to keep the aliveness? And there are multiple states of being, but that's one of them that really sticks out for me. So that said, I encourage you to think about the end state. And what I was saying that John said in the course is he was talking to this guy who said, well, you know, I mean, I wasted 20 years of my life trying to do this thing that I thought I wanted to do. And if I knew about this, well, I would have short-circuited that. I would have stopped it. And John says, yes, but the problem with this is that most of the world isn't open to this kind of way of being. And that's what I'm talking about with the mainstream. They're not open to this feeling place, this connecting with your heart's desire place, moving from the state of being. They're much more on a predetermined path. Go to school. This is what no one asks a kid. Kids are not connected to the, it is a, you know, yes, it is overblown. I get it to say that it's a slave factory to go to school, teach you that you have to study this stuff, and then you become a slave, and then you're a slave to the man, and then it's preparing you to work in the corporate environment and all this stuff. I get that that's extreme. And isn't it a little accurate? Are we checking in with kids as they're getting educated? Are we checking in about how they're feeling? Some of the kids, sure, they want to learn like that, but not every kid does. What's the state? The internal, I mean, the self-actualization. We don't care about that stuff. They don't want you to care about that stuff because it goes against the profiteers. Now, Emma, when I say they, I don't think there's necessarily this agenda, though the more I talk to people in the show, it seems like there might be. But yeah, it of course, to think freely, to live as a free spirit, goes against everything that society has set up. So, most goal setting is similar. You want to get an A in school? Here are the steps. What if getting an A isn't going to make you happy? I know so many people that, remember my high school, so many people that wanted to get into Harvard and Yale, and they worked so hard, and then they didn't get in. And now what did they have? They went to another school, but I think back and I go, do they regret that they worked it hard? And also the fact is that where you go undergrad ultimately probably doesn't really, I mean, I'd be curious if your undergrad college experience is correlated with your overall happiness in life. My guess is it has nothing to do with it. So, again, I implore you, think about your states. And actually, well, what John was saying, and this came out a couple years ago, probably 2014-ish, 2015, he put, maybe it was 2017. I don't know when he put out this new version of Beyond Goals for his coaching program, but what's interesting is that it is aligning, I think, with what's happened in the 2022 world. People are feeling empty by things they achieved. Look what happened. The pandemic made people go, I achieved all this, and now I got nothing. So now that I don't have the thing, I have to sit with myself. And is myself happy? Is my state of being good? And that's why you have the person that started a garden outside and said, hey, I'm going to quit my job because I enjoy gardening more and I can make a business out of this. They are in a place of being, a state of being. They're not thinking about, they don't even know where it's going to go. So that's what I'm encouraging. I'm encouraging, I didn't know where this episode, I mean, I had a vague idea. I didn't know all the stuff around it. But I just knew that I enjoy talking directly with you And the next small step while I'm in that state is to press the microphone and speak and hopefully give you something of value here. I think we're starting to move to a place in general where states of being, that's what they mean by heart alignment. It doesn't feel good. That's what it is. Simple. Does it feel good? So many people for so long have been doing things that haven't felt right. And yeah, there's BS in there. There's limiting belief systems caused by trauma in childhood. Sure. But I would ask yourself right now, are you aligned? In the sense that is there something in your life you just kind of don't, you feel you're settling somewhere? And what would you feel like if you weren't? And if now you're feeling that, what's one thing you can do while you're feeling that state to keep that feeling going? Where you go next is, it's going to be radical. It's you will have no idea what to expect, because that's the exciting piece of life. Where you are, people talk about that. I never used to understand it. The idea of letting life move through you because you're just in a blissed out place. You can do anything. That's what this is. This is a way of operating in the world, focusing more on how you're feeling, who you're being, in order to achieve your fullest potential. I'm curious what happens to a society where everybody is operating from a place of bliss and enjoyment. That is when people talk about moving into the 5D. I think that's really, if we're going to ground it, I'm doing what I love, loving what I do. I feel good doing it. That's one of my goals. I love learning about hypnosis. I love working with the mind. And if you're interested in feeling good for no reason, or just feeling good about anything that might be holding you back so you can move more clearly into the state of well-being, I'm starting to see people again. So I have a link in the show notes. If you want to book a discovery call with me, I'll work with you. I'm happy to do it, because it really does start in the subconscious. Because once we align the subconscious with the conscious, my gosh, there's so much we can do. So absolutely, hey, feel free to take me up on that. Yes, I have more interviews coming. I want to speak to you more, though. I really do. I want to speak to you about what's one of my other uncle, Donald, has said, Greg, what you got to do is you got to have the guests on one week, and then the next episode, three episodes down, talk about how you really feel about that guest. Look, every guest I've had, I have love and reverence and I'm grateful for. I don't always fully believe everything everyone says, but I really do my darndest when I'm with them to honor them, give them the stage. I don't think anybody's an absolute crackpot. Maybe one or two people. It's about being curious. And the people that I've said it before, the people that I haven't interviewed yet that I'm talking to, some of them are even more curious than the people I've had on. Wow. We have a lot of interesting stuff coming up here. So I encourage you to think about all those things that maybe you've had an inkling or curiosity about, and feel what you'd feel after you accomplished it. What are you going to feel? And stay there, and then decide what you want to do next. Talk soon.